Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There's a book out now, and it's actually a redo, a sort of an update of the original, The Myth of the ADHD Child by Dr. Thomas Armstrong. You may know this book, and man, if that is in your life, ADHD, 101 Ways to Improve Your Child's Behavior and Attention Span Without Drugs, Labels, or Coercion. Doctor, it's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Is the incidence of ADHD higher? That is, are more kids actually having that, or are we just diagnosing it more and maybe more than is necessary?
I think we're diagnosing it more than is necessary. The rates of diagnosis have gone up to about 43% from 2003 to 2013. And we don't have figures after that. But in my book, I suggest that ADHD is a really flawed concept for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons is the prevalence rate varies depending upon who you talk to. In Europe, they consider 1 to 3% ADHD. In the Southeast, some of the Southeast states, rates can go as high as 18%. So when you see a spread that wide, you begin to wonder, you know, what are you really measuring? And could this epidemic of ADHD be due to other causes?
Other causes. Like, sure. Finish that sentence. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, things like pushing kids too early to do academics, expecting boys to act like girls, you know, and settle down and not, you know, wrestle and that kind of thing. Boring our kids in our schools. We put so much emphasis on standardized testing these days that kids who are liable to get a diagnosis of ADHD get bored. They get bored more easily than typically developing people. I mean, there are real differences. I'm not saying that ADHD doesn't exist or that the symptoms don't exist, but I'm saying that we've got to come up with a better paradigm to make sense of these kids, because you can be hyperactive, distractible, or impulsive for a number of reasons. You know, because you're allergic to milk, because you're a physical learner, because you're bored with school, because you have, you know, there's trouble at home and you're experiencing the stress of that, because you're depressed. There are a lot of different reasons, and we've all, it seems like they lump everything that doesn't fit into other categories into the ADHD category, and as a result, we got 6.4 million kids with that diagnosis.
I suppose it's possible, though, that 18% of the kids in the South or whatever it is in the country are hyperactive, are having trouble managing that, but that it's not a biochemical thing. It's just all of these different social stimuli that we're giving them. That's, I guess, what you're saying.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is if you look at a map of the United States and look at the rates for each state or for each area of ADHD, you find the lowest rates in the Southwest and the highest rates in the Southeast. And if you think about it, the Southwest is where you get most light, you know, natural light. And there's a study linking just getting out there and getting some fresh air and fresh light with lower rates of ADHD. So, you know, in the book, I talk about a lot of different strategies, and one of them is to get out into the light, or, you know, if you're going to have a study area at home, put it near a window, you know, where the yeah. child gets the light. Well, or use natural, you know, spectrum lighting for illumination.
Yeah, one member of my family got that for one of her daughters, saying, okay, I hope this helps. I don't know if it did. I suppose it may have helped. But maybe the point is not so much whether or not your kid has ADHD or not. Maybe we get too much hung up on that in saying, okay, whatever the symptoms are that you're experiencing, how can we alleviate them?
And
And are you also telling us that we're over-medicating the kids, that should be the last option?
Yes, I really feel like medication. I'm not a medical doctor, and any decision about medication should be done in conjunction with person's physician. But I am suggesting that we do seem to turn to it too quickly, that some doctors who are under a lot of pressure, you know, to see a lot of patients may do a 15-minute exam and on the basis of that give a diagnosis and a treatment and a medication. And that's just too quick. And so that's why I wrote this book. I thought, well, if parents know all the non-drug alternatives out there, you know, things like encouraging your child's interests, celebrating successes as a family together, providing a balanced breakfast, making time for nature, holding family meetings, you know, all these suggestions are options for parents to think about, to give a try, to help maybe either make it so they don't have to medicate their kids, or if they do, and I'm not against medication, if they do have to medicate, at least they may not have to have as high a dosage. I think we're really just depending too much on medication and not enough on some real practical life strategies.
A woman called in a moment ago and said to my producer, Elif, that her son works at Osco, the local drugstore, and that the pharmacy is swamped right now with ADHD medication prescriptions. Probably everybody going back to school and getting their kids back on whatever the...
Exactly. 25% to 70% of parents take their kids off of medication during holidays. And so this is a time of, you know, I've been writing some pieces for different parenting periodicals, and it's all about how do you transition kids with that diagnosis from the kind of easy, relaxing, you know, high stimulation days of summer into the hunkering down, focused kind of time that the classroom requires.
You said we might be making the mistake of asking boys to act like girls. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that boys naturally, they engage in roughhousing, you know, rough and tumble play, as we call it. They prefer to work with objects rather than through verbal interchanges. And it just seems like they're, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time if they're in a classroom, usually headed by a female who expects everyone to behave, you know, to settle down, to be quiet, be interpersonal. That's another thing that girls have an advantage over. They prefer, you know, quiet interpersonal communication, whereas boys are just, they're noisy.
We don't have recesses like we used to either. Do you think that the Chicago Public, here in Illinois, we just passed a new budget. It included funding for the schools. They were trying to figure out how to spend the money. Anyway, the education bill now requires them, I think, to have physical education twice a week.
Twice a week. Oh,
and I don't know what they're doing for recess. Certainly at the high school you don't have those. But, I mean, I'm not sure that we're giving kids enough time to burn off some energy, you know?
I totally agree. Exercise is essential. Studies have shown that it lowers rates of ADHD. This whole accountability thing that we've got in our education system, the emphasis on standardized tests, has made administrators want to eke out every minute they can for either taking the test or preparing kids for the test. And extremely valuable times like recess and PE. I mean, PE should be in every school every day.
Boy,
recess
should be
in every school.
When I get to be king, that is so going to happen. The paperwork's tied up in Cook County, though. It's 249. On a phone is Dr. Thomas Armstrong. His book, The Myth of the ADHD Child, is subtitled 101 Ways to Improve Your Child's Behavior and Attention Span Without Drugs. You've got a lot of questions and comments out there. I can tell by our text and phone line. We'll get in one or two of them in just a minute. We're visiting with Dr. Thomas Armstrong. His book is about the myth of the ADHD child. He said, look, there are ways to help. Let's pick up the doctor on line 7. Doctor, I'll take a quick call for you, okay?
Sure.
We'll start with Ralph. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Ralph. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Dr. Armstrong, I am going to buy your book and read it. I have a couple questions for you. I want to give you a little bit about my background. I taught emotionally disturbed students for 22 years, and my belief is from my experience that half of it is genetic and half of it is
Half of it is what?
A third of all children are born out of wedlock in the United States today, and I think that has a drastic impact. Can you tell me what you think the causes are. What do you see it as? Genetics, environment? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Sure. Doctor, what's your thought on that?
Great question. I think it's a combination, you're right, of genetics and environment. They interact in all sorts of subtle ways. A child can have a vulnerability to being criticized, for example, and if they don't receive the criticism during their, you know, growing up years, they're not going to develop the symptoms. But if they do, it's going to affect the gene expression, and it will cause that. You mentioned out-of-wedlock parents. I can't talk specifically to that, but there's a study in Sweden with quite a large number, several thousand kids, and they discovered that there seems to be an association with ADHD and single parenting. Now, I'm not saying that parents are to blame, you know, and a lot of parents really get angry at the bare suggestion of that. But I'm saying that stresses occur in the home, and they have an impact on children, and some kids are more stress vulnerable than others. And so, you know, one of the outcomes of that can be ADHD. That's another possible reason for some of the symptoms, and that's why I've included a lot of strategies in my book that help with the emotional life, helping kids self-regulate their emotions, considering possible family therapy, certainly parent training, and channeling energies.
Okay, but I've got some listeners who are on hold. We don't have time for them, but they say, look, my kid absolutely has ADHD. You know, all this blah, 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 blah. My kid has it.
And well, I'm not saying that they don't have it. I'm just saying that it's the symptoms that they have. Those are real. The challenge is real. The suffering is real. But the concept of ADHD has a lot of problems with it. And my book is intended to get people to think, to start asking questions, to get closer to the child and the unique needs of every individual child, rather than kind of flopping into this sort of stereotypical idea of ADHD and what all ADHD kids are supposed to be able to not do and do.
Dr. Thomas Armstrong's book, it's an update, a revised edition of The Myth of the ADHD Child, 101 Ways to Improve Your Child's Behavior. I'm out of time, but I think you and I will have to have a conversation again another day, Doctor. Well done. Thanks for joining us.
I look forward to it, John. Thanks so much.